Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
It is very nice to be here. Thank you so much if you are joining me. And if you're not listening at all, I want to thank you anyway, even though you can't hear my gratitude. I was driving to work today, right by my house. I haven't really paid much attention to it. You know how the surroundings in your life you just pretty much ignore until somebody says, hey, you live over by, and you go, yeah, I think I do, and it's right next door. I saw a sign for a bank. Fifth Third Bank. I don't know if I'd ever use that bank. For me, numbers are very important when it comes to money. And something I generally look for in a bank, and I don't know exactly how they're numbering things. Fifth Third Bank. I mean, I can understand First National, Second County, Fifth Third. Good to have you here. This is The Doctor Is In. The number to get onto the program, talk first to Eric Dumont or Andrew Krucek. Eric's the call screamer, first line. Andrew Krucek is, if things get backed up, he jumps in, but then he can't operate the board, and then I can ramble on through breaks, and then he comes in my earphone and says, you're 8 minutes past the break, and I say, who is this? 877-573-7825, if you would like to call in with a question about something perplexing in your life. Situation, circumstance, you're finding hard to understand, or hard to take, or hard to navigate, or hard to stay at peace about. I'm a shrink. That's what I do for a living. People say, what is this shrink? Where does shrink come from? Well, in certain tribes, the medicine man was the head shrinker. They had kind of a certain exercise that, and I don't know how spurious this is, but where they would shrink a head. And so he was the guy you went to, the head shrink. Well, the name got passed on decades ago to psychiatrists. The guy's a head shrinker. And then it just got shortened up to shrink. That's better than head. I'm the head. Kind of sounds like a cheese, doesn't it? And it's not a kind of cheese you really want to be near. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call. Get on to the program. All right, let me draw up these stats. Now, this makes me nervous. I don't know where he got them, but the fella is, says here, Dr. Austin Lake is the name of the guy. I could see some of this. This dovetails with my own experience. Since 1990, 35 years ago, this has been the percentage increase in these diagnoses. Now, some of them are mental health or behavioral. Others are physical. ADHD, since 1990. Has gone up 819%. That's nine times. Nine times since 1990. Now you are forced to say, well, we're just becoming more sensitive to it. We more likely recognize it. Or you could say, are we overdiagnosing it? This one, I remember struggling with this in my office. Not me personally. But I was getting teenagers, parents coming in with their teenagers diagnosed as bipolar disorder. Now, bipolar disorder is a serious disorder. It is a serious mental disorder. It's not fluctuating emotions. But what I was seeing was some of these kids are getting this diagnosis because of the fluctuating in moods that can be very typical among teens, especially if their frustration tolerance is very low. So, do you want to know the increase in the diagnosis of bipolar disorder in youth since 1990? Ready? You ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. 10,833%. Now, I'm trying to figure out what is that? Is that 100 times? Let's see. No, it's got to be more than that. 10,000 times. Kids who are discontented and moody because of circumstances in their lives, and the more time they spend in the cybersphere, the more likely that's going to happen. There's all kinds of research saying that. Also have periods where they're okay. They're upbeat, fun, because things are going good as they define it. All too often, these kids are getting diagnosed bipolar. I remember a study done by, I believe it was Harvard or Yale, one of those. And they said, and this is those guys, or persons, said that according to actual statistics, in terms of how you recognize the disorder, the symptoms, it's at least 50% overdiagnosed. Now, that was probably among adults, but this disorder in youth. Okay, let me see if I got anything else here. No, a lot of these are lifestyle diagnoses, and they're frightening. For example, depression. Well, that's not lifestyle. One more mental health here. Up 280%. That's three times since 1990. What's going on here? We are not looking at the cultural forces that are shaping how we think and feel and act. We're just not. Got some big ones here. Autoimmune disorders, up by 1,600%. Diabetes, 305%. Now, most of those are probably type 2, but there's been an explosion in type 1, and we're not really sure why. The more fuzzy the diagnosis, the more likely it explodes. Fibromyalgia has gone up 7,200% since 1990. Chronic fatigue syndrome, 11,000% since 1990. Autistic spectrum disorders, 2,000% since 1990. These are mind-numbing jumps. Absolutely mind-numbing jumps. Now, I don't know where he got these statistics. I'm going to assume can go to his particular site, Dr. Austin Lake, and see. Apparently he does have a following. So, stunning. Just absolutely stunning. And this reflects, I think, our obsession with diagnosing mental health issues that are in large part a reflection of cultural dissatisfaction, unhappiness, broken homes, giving God the boot, spending time in the cybersphere, all of these things. Unfortunately, what tends to happen is that we look at this and say, well, it's internal to the person. This bipolar disorder diagnosis in teenagers is internal to the child, rather than saying what, in fact, is making this kind of mood fluctuation explosively more common than it was 35 years ago. You know, 35 years ago ain't that long ago. We're not talking 1922. We're talking barely two generations ago. Yeah, these are, on one hand, enlightening and, on the other hand, frightening statistics. I'm Dr. Ray.
You are listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Grandy. So please, no calls at this time.
Giving you a remedial psychological education, pushing your IQ into the red zone. 125 to 140. Holding it there for five, six, seven sentences at a time. Some people complain of headaches. I think that's all just idiopathic. Not idiopathic. Idiopathic. It means it's unique to you, essentially, with an unknown cause. But, I mean, it's possible that thinking that hard for even those brief minutes could do something to you. Lori is smashing right up against the old I'm 18. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Well, tell me. Tell me about your daughter and her 18 and her phone.
Yes. She currently, we have her bring her phone down to our room every night. And that's the only restriction she has on her phone. She can't have it at nighttime. But she's going to turn 18 in January, and I can just see it coming that she's going to think that she's 18. And I've thought and thought it over, and I just can't decide how I feel about that, whether I should just continue as long as she's living under our roof to keep her phone in the evenings or give her that freedom and self-discipline.
Well, so what is it? Yeah, what is it about the number 18 in your home that changes everything?
Well, she will be a legal adult, and she at some point needs to learn self-discipline. And so, you know, whether that happens at 18 or 18 and a half when she moves out, you know, I can't decide whether to give her that freedom, because she's at some point she's got to do it on her own, be self-disciplined, to stay off the phone.
Well, I got a question. You said at some point she's got to learn. Does that mean she hasn't learned?
I don't know. That's why I keep it, because I don't want to take the risk of her, you know, on the wrong sites or, you know, just being on it all night long talking to her friends.
Well, you know that's going to happen. It's a rare kid that has the phone in the bedroom who doesn't use it.
Right.
So if you just go by baseline predicting, which is 100 18-year-olds with a phone in a bedroom, how often are they going to turn to it and lose sleep? You can predict pretty accurately that most would.
Yes.
So suspicion, and rightfully so. If I had my phone in the bedroom, I'd probably use it too.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, she's a girl, and girls are more attracted to the phone generally than boys are,
mm-hmm.
And given the fact that you have no limits on that phone any other time, which means she's probably gone places you don't want her to go, doing things you don't mm-hmm. want her to do. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this minimal condition, no phone at bedtime. And you're thinking,
right?
Well, gee, she'll be a legal adult. So, Lori, are you saying that as a legal adult, she'll now pay you rent? And that she will pay her percentage of the electric bill, and that she'll pay. Oh.
She's still in high school.
So what is the difference then? She's still in high school. What's the difference?
Right. Exactly. Okay.
I think you answered your own question.
Yeah, you just hit me over the edges all, because that's kind of how I was feeling, but I couldn't decide. So.
Well,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Yep. You got a deeper question here. You said you couldn't decide. Is your husband involved in any of this?
Oh, yeah, he is. But my husband is so, he supports me in my decisions, but he's so easy. If I asked him, he'd be, oh, yeah, that'd be fine. He's fine with everything.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
So he leaves it all up to you.
He doesn't
go to your daughter and say, this is my decision.
No.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to be a reason for a look-back call.
Yep. Yep, probably.
Because I'm going to tell these husbands, quit making your wife do this.
Get in there
and don't make your wife take the heat. Oh, mom's the one who took the phone from me. I hate mom. No. Yep. Husbands. Oh, I'm going to use some graphic language, but I'm not.
Oh.
Get in there. Well, be a man. Protect that woman. This isn't mom's idea. Right. It's mine.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, there you go. You just gave me that, too. Because right, if I ask him to present it to her, he
No. You don't have to ask him. You tell him that when we got a difficult decision like this, what's keeping you from saying, I'm going to be the one? Don't you worry about it. I'll take the heat.
Right. I don't know. We were married young and had four kids and then had a couple of kids later in life. And with the older four, he was very stringent and strict. And then with the last two, it's been like poking and prodding him to be more, you know,
He ran out of gas.
He did. Yeah, and they're great kids. They're all great kids. We've been very blessed. But, that has definitely, you were absolutely right. That has been an issue for me, for sure.
It's an issue in a lot of homes. Lori, thank you. Thank you for the call, my dear.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you. Bye. Yeah, my daughter turned 18. She's living with us. I forget exactly how we handled it. But I do know that when she was in high school, we took the phones because she just was not handling them well. Patrick from Texas. Now, I don't know if these are Patrick's words. I don't know if this has been framed. Is it Patrick's words? Okay. 9-year-old can be a bit aggressive. That's not a bite aggressive. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Who's he aggressive with?
He can be aggressive with his parents and Ooh. Other people, but generally, I mean, he does really good at school. He actually takes his faith seriously. He's an altar boy. He loves to do that. He just can be really defiant and sometimes can still hit at 9 years old, and I'm thinking that's too old.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's too old for any age, Patrick.
Yeah.
You don't go, well, you know, 3-year-olds, it's okay that they hit their three. No, it's not okay. They'll hit, but it's not okay. All right.
Yeah, we've tried a lot of different things. We make sure that we love on him and make sure that we take away everything that he loves to do, and he can get down on himself when he realizes he was wrong, but we try to stay consistent on what we do, but it doesn't seem to work.
Well, you got a problem here, because you're going to have to explain something. If this is who your son is, if he's just a little bit of a spitfire, and he likes to challenge and push, resist and lash out at times, why isn't he doing this at school?
That's what we talked to him about that.
And how do you explain it?
I can't. I mean, he knows. Maybe he knows that he can't do that and get away with that at school.
Wait a minute. You have 20 times the authority that school has. What can school do to him? Can they take away his privileges?
No.
Can they make him write 100 sentences?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know. If he goes to public school, probably not. So what can they really do? They've got a couple of consequences they can use, but they're minuscule. So can you want to take another shot at explaining why he's that way with you and not with them?
I really don't know. I wish I knew.
Okay. Well, hey, you came to the right place to know. You ready? All right, sir.
Yeah.
Now, parents in my office will say, that's very common, I say 50% of the time, maybe more, kids under 10 are fine at school and belligerent at home. That's routine. And when I ask the parents, they'll give me various explanations. They'll say, well, you know, I think he feels comfortable with us. He knows he can do that with us and we'll still love him. Like you said, Patrick, I guess he thinks the school can do something to him. I don't know what it is, but his perception, as we talked about in my monologue, is that the school has more authority than mom or dad. It's an erroneous perception, but it's his perception. I think I'm going to give you the right answer. And this is the good news. This is the good news, by the way. I know it's going to sound like bad news, but it's the good news. It's you and your wife. Now, okay. I know you don't believe that, but you said something interesting. And this is why parents don't believe that. You said, we've taken things from him. We respond. We discipline. We do these things, and it's not making any difference. It's not changing anything. Almost every parent who comes in my office says that. And then we start to talk. And what I find out is that they don't do it as much as they think they do. They allow way too much to go on before they finally do. And their consequences are too meager. For example, you said, okay, I'm going to leave you over the break, okay, Patrick? Leave you over the break because I'm going to talk with you more about this. 877. No, don't leave. I don't mean leave. Stay over the break. I'm going to leave. You stay, please. 877-57 equal number to get on the program. Love to have you. Appreciate it.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Pope Francis, who died at age 88 early Easter Monday, will be immortalized for his 12 years of consistent opposition to abortion. He vividly likened the abortion industry to hitmen and condemned abortion's contribution to throwaway culture. One of his last acts was to encourage Italian pro-life pilgrims to the Vatican in March. Abortion pill reversal is making its way into India, with Heartbeat International's abortion pill reversal hotline. A growing movement of pro-life advocates in India are now often able to respond to such calls, and one of their first successes, a local doctor responded to one family and acted in time to replace the progesterone an abortion pill had blocked. Their child was saved and is now a healthy one-year-old. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor, reject the lie, and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. Abortion doctors may have failed to recognize the cause of cardiorespiratory collapse, and now Colorado is investigating the abortion death of an 18-year-old mom, Lexi Arguello. Pro-life observers criticize an apparent delay in emergency response to amniotic embolism and the state's lack of clinic regulations. And Tennessee is considering allowing the in vitro fertilization industry free rein in the state, with no restrictions on the number of tiny humans created or their disposal. IVF takes more life than even abortion. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
So what if I can't spell Armageddon? Not the end of the world. Thank you for joining me. Dr. Ray Guarendi, program, Doctor's In. Number 877-57-EQUAL. As usual, having a great time talking to you folks. Talking to Patrick from Texas. I think I can really help him out. Hi, Patrick. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, sir. Let me summarize for those people who don't listen to the whole hour. Shame on you. Patrick called in. He's got a 9-year-old son. Fine at school. He's a wonderful kid at school. Wonderful kid in a lot of ways. He serves at church. He loves his faith. He shows remorse. But, as Patrick described it, he said he could be aggressive, but it sounds like the aggressiveness is only punctuated rebellion. And by that I mean there's a certain amount of oppositional conduct on this young man's part, that every so often when he gets too frustrated, he swings first and asks questions later. Is that a good summary there, Patrick?
Yes.
Okay, sir. And I gave Patrick the good news, actually. The good news is there's nothing wrong with his son, likely. I mean, he's fine at school. The bad news is it's Patrick and his wife. Not that they're bad parents. I'm not implying that at all. They're just underestimating what they need to do to teach this little guy that you can't do these things. Now, thank you, Barb. He's been doing this for quite some time, so it's going to take a while to unteach it. Patrick, I would suggest, for example, what's your little guy's name?
Colby.
Colby. Comes from the Greek word, kolbei, which means swinger. Yeah, look it up. Look it up. So you tell Colby, Colby, you're 9 years old, son. And the way you present this is very important, because you got to present it so he perceives you mean it. I'm going to tell you here, son, you're not allowed to hit anybody. That's not going to happen anymore. Not at all. If you do, you swing at me or your mom or a sibling, we're going to shut you down for 5 straight days. You're not going to have any privileges at all for 5 straight days. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. No dessert. No outside. No games. No stuffed animals. No favorite shirt. Nothing. You can read and write. And I don't know what else. Probably nothing much else. And go to bed early. Now, that's just to take care of the swinging. On the aggressive part, I'll give you just a simple 1-2 technique. Very simple. You make something, a request of Colby, and he ignores you or defies you. And you simply tell him, okay, Colby, that's 50 sentences. And then you tell him what the sentences are going to be. If he argues or resists, you just tell him it's automatic. It's doubled. It's just doubled. Then, of course, when he doesn't do it, and you didn't say he wouldn't, but I'm going to suspect he wouldn't, you simply tell him, that's it, Colby. That's it. You have no privileges at all of any kind until those sentences are turned in respectfully. And in the meantime, please don't act up anymore, because I'll just add sentences. Now, if you do that just that tiny little thing, because I don't know all the dynamics in your home, that should make a dramatic difference. Because what typically happens, Patrick, is when parents get frustrated with a kid, like you are with Colby, they bounce all over the place. Well, we tried this, we tried that. We did this, we did that. We fired off a nuclear warhead. We just took everything from him. We did that. Didn't work, didn't it? Next day, he did the same thing. Because you're bouncing all over the place. Just simply tell him, hey, Colby, this is what we're going to do. If you want to be defiant, go ahead, son. But this is what we're going to do. I would be shocked if it doesn't work.
Okay.
All right? Do it a couple weeks and call me. So you can give me accolades. You can give me accolades and you can say, I'm living with a different child.
So if he gets defiant, you just say you're going to write some sentences and you lose all privileges until I get that.
Yeah, that's very simple. No, don't have to think real hard. I try to make it as simple as I can for parents.
I will.
Because the simpler, the easier. And you know the ironic part? If Colby knows you're going to do this, he's not going to test you. He knows. He knows mom and dad are operating now with these conditions. We're not going to allow you to be difficult, defiant, and obnoxious. Colby, this is not good for you. It's not good for us. You come back and you cry and you're sorry and you're repentant. Okay, that's fine. But I don't want you to have to be repentant because you didn't do it. That's what's better. All right, Patrick, thank you so much. Okay, dope.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
All righty, sir. All right. Bye. Rosemary is a ma. She said that. No, she's calling from Massachusetts. Sorry about that. She's been patient. She called right at the top of the show. So I got to get to Rosemary. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Is your son live in a group home?
Yes, in Boston.
Okay. He's 34 years old. He has developmental delays. How delayed is he?
I don't know. He was born. I guess he has autism and aggressions have decreased. He's been there in the group home for 11 years.
So he got attacked by his roommate the other day, huh?
Yeah, he has a new roommate. He moved in last year. He attacked my son. He ended up with a nasal fracture. And my son has aggressions, but they have decreased, thank God. Okay, they decreased. But he aggressed on him, not as severe, I don't think. I don't know the details. So only a few days ago, his new roommate, who is a lot taller and stronger than my son, okay, attacked him while he was in the bathroom. The bathroom wasn't locked because his bedroom is right next to the bathroom, his new roommate. And I don't. All of a sudden, he attacked my son, and he has a severe black eye.
Obviously, the group home knows about this, correct?
Yes, of course, the house manager, yes.
What are they doing?
Well, they just they give him a van ride, and he's not allowed. The new roommate is not allowed. He's only 22 years old, the new roommate. And he's not allowed to go when he's being punished. And they took my son for a van ride and went out to eat Saturday. And then Sunday, they did the same thing. And this, you know, he's not allowed. The new roommate does not go to a day program because he doesn't want to. They need a one-on-one. My son has a one-on-one. He's improved so much, we take him out without the one-on-one. And so far, it's been good. And the ISP, they didn't mention it last year. I don't remember going, but they didn't mention it. But he still does. They asked the house manager if he still has a one-on-one. He said yes.
Let me see if
You know,
this.
My husband prefers just us naturally. And so far, it's been twice. We go, you know, like 45-minute ride to here.
Let
there,
me see,
you know,
Rosemary, watch. If I got this.
You got it. Good. Thank you.
Your son got a bloody nose, and he got a black eye.
No, just a black eye.
All right. Twice he's been attacked by this kid.
Yes.
I don't know, of course, what the kid's particular issues are in terms of his own development and his own neurological involvement. The group home has not suggested we're going to separate them to different rooms. Have they?
No.
Why not?
Because the second floor is my son, the father roommate, who's very nonverbal and non-aggressive that I'm aware of, and the third one moved in, and they're on the same bedroom in the second floor. And the other two girls, young women, are downstairs, so they're near the, you know, the staff in
all right,
the kitchen.
Stay there. We'll see what we can come up with some ideas on this, Rosemary. 877-57-EQUAL. I will get to you if you're waiting patiently. I see you. And I appreciate you. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Were the Los Angeles Angels in the playoffs? Does it bother anybody that the Los Angeles Angels translates into the Angels Angels? The Los, the Angeles Angels. Angel Angels. All right. I'm talking to Rosemary from Massachusetts. She had a 34-year-old son. He's been 11 years in a group home. In Ohio, we call those MRDD. He has developmental delays, probably reasonably significant. He new roommate, 22-year-old kid, bigger and stronger, and has attacked him twice. Now, Rosemary's saying, what can we do about it? You there, Rosemary?
Yes, Dr. Ray.
You're going to have to talk to the people at the... Ask him this. Just go in and say, I have a little concern because this kid is bigger and stronger. What will you do if it happens again? That's what you say. What will you do if it happens again? They know. They can't risk somebody getting physically hurt. They know that. So the idea that, well, we'll take his ride away from him may not at all be enough. They may have to make actual structural changes to these rooms. Where are they going to put them?
Put them here. My husband's here. He's going to try to listen. He has a hearing problem, and he's going to put the device on.
All righty.
So he can ask questions that I never think of. Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear it? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You got it there, sir?
Yeah.
Hi, Charles.
Hello.
You there, sir?
Are you there, sir? He said.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Charles, what question do you have about how to handle this situation with your son?
Well, my wife called because I'm handling things the best way I can because I got to put everything into consideration. There's a lot of things there's a lot of things you didn't know.
I'll shut up. Okay.
No, turn it on. Hello, hello. There's a lot of things that led up to this. I mean, it's a very tough situation, as was my...
So your son isn't totally innocent.
And he's real big, this guy. Looks like a young kid, but in his 20s.
Charles, what you're saying is that your son isn't totally innocent.
My son?
Yeah, in other words, the kid didn't just attack him out of nowhere. Your son may have...
This is a situation, sir, that... What it is you got to understand it. It's not just this person attacking our son. Our son's attacked many people.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
He's bitten everyone in the group home.
All righty. So it's possible that the people in the group home are thinking, what did your son do to provoke this kid? You need to sit down, Charles. I'm gonna have to let you go. I got other calls waiting. You need to sit down with him. Not with your son. With the group home people, you and your wife, and say, what's the plan? What can we do about this? If these two are a bad combination, this kid brings out the violence in my son brings out the violence in this kid. What can we do, and what will you do if it happens again? And if they say, well, we're going to do what we've been doing, we took away his Sunday ride, you ask, what if that doesn't stop it? What then? So you got to get them to look at their other options, because you're really kind of helpless. It's coming up on their decision. I mean, Charles, the only other option you have is to look for another group home. And I don't know if these are private group homes. I don't know if they're run by the state. I don't know if they're run by the Department of MRDD. I don't know. But you can even go higher. You can say, okay, we're gonna go up and see. Maybe there's another home that's better for this kid. There's my suggestion, Charles. Thank you so much, sir. Let's see what we got here. We got, what is that rum spring? Oh, okay. Well. Peter had a comment on a Patrick call that kids are going to be rebellious. Julio, I was going to go next to you. You just jumped as soon as you heard me say Peter, Julio, and then you assumed I was going to talk to Peter, but he just wanted to make a comment. He didn't want to stay on the air. He said that kids are going to be rebellious, obviously. That's why the Amish have something called, I guess it's called Rumspringa. It's a rite of passage for some Amish youth that allows them to explore the modern world and decide if they want to commit to the Amish lifestyle. Well, I don't know I don't know how appropriate that would be to a 9-year-old, but I see what you're saying. And I don't know what age the Amish give this decision or choice to the kids. Is it 18? Is it 16? What age is it? All right, well, I got to go. I may take Julio's question. He left, but the question's still up there, and it's a good question. 877-573-7825 is the number. We still have time to the end of the show if you'd like to call in and get on the air.
Hey, you're listening to the least worst of the Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarini.
One of the things I do on this program is if somebody leaves and then I comment on their call, if they call back, I'll go to them first. So we got Peter and Julio. Peter was wanting to make a comment on Patrick's call. This is a father with a 9-year-old boy who's more defiant at home than he is at school by far, and who swings first when he's frustrated, sometimes anyway. So Peter says, okay, he wanted to draw a parallel to some Amish communities have this, not all. I don't know, Peter, am I pronouncing it right? Rumspringa?
Yes, you are, Doc. Yeah, as far as I know.
What is it?
Am I on the air right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, as far as I know, it's pretty much what Americans call, they get to sow their wild oats. A couple of years they leave, and it's like, because... I have five sons, my own. And when I became a Christian myself 40 years ago, a wise pastor said, you know what, I don't want to get into a struggle with anybody, about a power struggle where I'm pushing and they're pushing away and blah, blah, blah. You want to try and hopefully just say, like I said to Bobby, Bob, you know what? Your brothers did the same thing. If you really got to do this, go ahead. Knock yourself out. I have sons that don't have daughters. Sons, you can level with them. Just say, you're just being foolish. Why are you being foolish?
Peter, wait a minute. Yes, How old were your sons when you did this?
I would say they're all doing this like when I'm in right around the first year of college.
Okay, so they were adults legally, and
correct.
You had the ability to say, you can't live here if you're going to act this way. You're old enough to make
that.
It.
No, I hope it doesn't ever get that far. No, I don't want it to get that far. Unfortunately for me, it didn't. You know, the kid's getting like this guy's talking about his kids swinging at people, being violent or drug addiction, heroin. Fortunately for me, I never got that far. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, what are you saying regarding what you did with your sons? You gotta have to make it short because I got to get to Julio.
I'm saying what my pastor said to me, I think, is a wise course, which is, I'm not going to fight you on this. You're going to, like, elbow me for no reason, figuratively elbow me. I'm not going to go wild about it. You know what? This is typical. This is humankind. This is the same old story, just like the prodigal son. This is what people do. Everybody goes through, most people go through the prodigal son stage. Unfortunately, that's the way people are. In my humble opinion, Doc, I love your show. Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Take care. Peter was saying basically that the kids get older, they want to do their own thing, and then sometimes you have to say, okay, do your own thing. We'll be back here, depending. Julio from Fresno. The line in the old movie Airplane where the one guy says, Fresno? Who goes to Fresno anymore? Hi, Julio, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, sir. Well, I'll tell you what you're asking is tricky turf.
It started off as just a conversation between me and my wife talking about having secrets in marriage, and my wife said, you know, oh yeah, I'll tell you anything, no problem. And I guess I just took that to the extreme, and I said, well, you know, should we, you know, talk about what we reveal in confession? And I wanted to know what your brilliant mind thought of that.
Well, I like the fact that you modified my mind with the word brilliant. I think I appreciate that. And if I'd have known you were going to say that, I would have put you up sooner. Maybe from now on, you people who call in, if you're going to use superlatives to describe me, let me know, let Eric know, we'll put you up first. Several levels to this, Julio. First of all, sin can be a very private thing. There are some mm-hmm. things that you wouldn't want your wife to know, because knowing them wouldn't do any good and would create an enormous amount of damage, especially if you're repentant and you have no intention ever to doing that again. Okay, that's the first thing. Total transparency in a relationship can destroy it. Okay? So, you know, if someone says, you know, honey, I just want to tell you, I look at other women and I just fantasize about them. And then she says to you, well, I got to tell you, Julio, you know, sometimes I hate your guts, but I don't really want to tell you that. Now, this is not good, okay? That's the first thing. Secondly, much of the sinfulness that we confess to priests, our spouses know. They live with us. If they know you're vain, or if they know you gossip, or if they know you lose your temper, or if they know you make dirty jokes, they know that. They live with you. It's not a surprise. So a lot of it is just social interaction between spouses that you confess to a priest, in that sense. The fact that your wife said, well, I can tell you everything. I think she's saying, I don't have anything that I would be ashamed of with you. I don't have anything that would destroy our relationship or put a dent in it. So I can tell you. That may not be the case with you. You may say, well, you know, there's certain things I just, you know, I went back to confession after 30 years, and 29 years ago I did this, and, well, I don't see any reason for me to tell her that. That's not being secretive. That's not keeping things. That's saying this would do no good.
Yeah, you want to see what you're saying.
Add to any of that? I mean, a lot of people say that. They'll say, well, you just got to be open with your spouse, totally open. That's not always a good thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought maybe if you revealed some of these things, it might, you know, say I said, fantasize about other people or something. Maybe it would bring a conversation that could be healing or something like that. But maybe that's just better done with a priest.
Well, that's exactly right. That's better done for you through the priest, through your own contrition, through your own working at it, as opposed to telling your wife, I just want you to know this is what I do. So what do you think of that? How can you help me get over it? I don't see how that's going to be very helpful. You know, say you visited a pornographic site, and it's not a pattern, but you did it, and you confessed it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about going to your wife and say, honey, just want to tell you I visited a pornographic site? What do you think that would do?
Yeah, I guess that.
Oh, she'd be crushed.
Create a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah. She'd say, why would you do that? Sure. So you're not being sly dog secret. No, if you keep going back, you are. But if it was a one-time or even a couple-time fall that you sincerely regret and confess, move forward. You're forgiven.
Yeah, I guess that's not as extreme as sometimes I'll go buy a hamburger without telling her, and then I can't take it anymore, and then I have to tell her that I went. But that's not the same level there.
I don't know. You'd have to stretch that to be a sin. I bought a hamburger, and I didn't tell you. Jeez, if I had to confess that stuff to my wife, I'd have to tell her all kinds of stuff. Honey, I was in the airport, and I bought a $22 sandwich. That's nuts. But I just figured I better tell you so you could think I'm nuts. Coolio, I admire your desire to be honest, but be careful you don't get scrupulous.
Okay, yes.
All righty,
my friend. Yeah, it was just an idea I had. Thank you.
God bless. Hey, wait a minute. Coolio, I just have one final question for you.
Oh, yes.
Are you telling me everything? I'm teasing you. Thanks.
More than 50 minutes.
Thanks, Coolio. Take care. All right. Like I said, Real Presence Radio, 1 week until we tape. Go to realpresenceradio.com/livingright with Dr. Ray. Sign up to be in the audience. We'd love to have you so very much. It's a fun time. It is. Truly is. Even with me as a host. Thank you for keeping me company. Appreciate it so very much. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, Eric Dumont. Walk with God. Always.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.